Hi, this is Chris from PleasureMechanics.com. Welcome to the Speaking of Sex podcast. On today's episode, we are joined by a special guest, Dawn Sarah. Dawn is an outspoken sex coach and host of the podcast Sex Gets Real. So if you're looking for more to listen to, definitely go check out Sex Gets Real. It is fun and fabulous. She joins us today to talk about one of the most crucial elements of enjoying a great sex life, learning how to love the bodies we are in as they are. Dawn, welcome to Speaking of Sex.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Mm-hmm. So I was looking through your blog, and in one of your beautiful blog posts, you say, quote, "You don't have to love your body to have amazing sex." Can we start by launching into this concept? What do you mean by that?
I think one of the things that's so challenging, especially when you're in a body that's not found or defined as like conventionally sexy or desirable. So if you're really short, or you're fat, or you have something about you that just doesn't present within kind of the natural confines, there's this tendency in our culture to like force ourselves to get super okay with all the things all at once. So it's like, love your body or nobody else will, love yourself or nobody else will. And that creates a tremendous amount of pressure to sometimes travel really far distances. And one of the things that I've learned in my own journey of continually learning how to love and appreciate my body is that I can have long periods of time when I'm really not feeling great about how I look. And I can feel sad that my body sometimes feels like a betrayal. And sometimes I can be really angry at myself for the choices that I've made. But all of those things can be true. And I can do something that makes me feel sexy. I can enjoy sex. I can enjoy the pleasure that my body's capable of. And I think that was such a revelation of, I can look in the mirror and not be really happy with what I see, but when my partner touches me and it feels amazing, I can surrender to that and enjoy it and be in the pleasure. And those things can coexist. And I think so often the story we hear, especially by like mainstream media, and I mean, like Oprah magazine really makes me mad. You know, it's just that lose 5 pounds to be your best self, or, you know, 20 pounds to your best life, and, you know, be bikini ready. And it's just these constant messages of, we're never there. We're never good enough. We're never done. We always have to be better than we are. And that translates to a lot of the sex articles we see too. And so I just really needed to write that article for myself more than anything, because giving myself permission to not have it all figured out meant that I could start having really phenomenal sex and really, really enjoying sex without having to be at some unknown destination in the future. It could happen right now.
It is so important. So important. And I think one of these really interesting things is when we can accept the desire from other people. Like, I remember when I got started in the BDSM scene as a fat woman, and all of a sudden seeing so many people being pleasured who are of size and receiving all of this interest, I was kind of dumbstruck. I didn't even know what to do with it, because I didn't know that there are people out there who would desire my body as is.
Yes.
And it was such an important step to realize that it wasn't that they were enjoying me in spite of my body, like my body was included in that package of what they were desiring. And so it was this kind of reverse path of, I felt their desire, I felt pleasure in my body, and all of a sudden I got that message that my body was capable of pleasure as is without any changes necessary. It was a revolution.
It totally is. And that acceptance of someone desiring me is still a little bit of a murky space. Yeah. I had a partner of 7 years, and at the very end of our relationship, we are still very close friends, and we ended very amicably after, you know, like a couple of weeks of not so happy. But at the very end of our relationship, as I started really like realizing I get to ask for what I want, I get to be this person that I've kind of been hiding from for the past couple of years in this relationship that felt really suffocating. And I was getting out and I was walking and thinking and doing all this stuff, and I lost a little bit of weight. And my ex said, "So now that we're breaking up, you're finally going to get skinny." And never in the course of our relationship had that person ever criticized my body. Mm. And to have that moment of, so this whole time you are just tolerating the way that I looked and not actually enjoying the way that I looked, felt like this really enormous lie that suddenly got exposed. And it certainly made me a little bit skeptical in that, you know, my husband loves my body and he talks about how sexy he finds my body and how much he loves touching me and looking at me. And there's still that little thing in the back of my head that every once in a while is like, are you just saying that? Is the truth going to come out at some point? And so undoing that and working through that and really learning, like, it's okay for people to desire me in the body that I'm in. And often that doubt is from our own internalized fat phobia. Mm-hmm. And the same thing can be true from people who are really thin and maybe don't have large breasts or curves, and they get a whole separate message about being frigid and cold, and can internalize, how could someone ever possibly find me sexy? I look nothing like Sofia Vergara. Or, you know, around the size of our penis, if we're someone that has a penis. And it's like all of us just have all these messages all over the time, and it can be so powerful to just start seeing yourself through other people's eyes. And like you said, BDSM communities are amazing for that. And just really realizing, like, no, people want me exactly as I am and find me sexy. And it's not like, well, she's cool and I'm just going to ignore her body. It's like, no, the whole package mm-hmm. is something I'm interested in. And that can be really healing to allow yourself to be seen that way.
Yeah, and so speaking of being seen, a lot of people are terrified about getting naked in front of their lovers. And yet, in all of my years as a sex educator, I've never heard someone say, oh, I was really into that person until I saw their thighs. So how do we bridge this gap of how people feel about their body and how their lovers feel? Do you have any specific recommendations for overcoming this hurdle and getting comfortable being naked?
Yes. I'll say the method that I have used, which may not be everybody's choice, is I've had a couple of points in my life where I've been petrified to the point of inaction because I was just so convinced. For instance, when I came out of my last relationship, it had been 13 years since I had been in a sexual relationship with a cis man. I had been in lesbian relationships and trans relationships. And as I came out of that 7-year relationship with my partner who was trans, I just had this feeling like, I really just want to explore some sex with some cis guys and see what that's like. And then I had this feeling of like, I feel like the first time I take my clothes off in front of one of these guys that I've been talking to, they're going to run screaming the other way. Mm-hmm. And it was a real deep fear to the point where like I threw up before I met my first fellow on a coffee date, because I was so convinced that if he saw me without my clothes on, he would just run screaming. And I just had this moment of like, I'm tired of holding myself back and being so scared. So even if that happens and it totally crushes me, at least I can just say I tried, and I just kind of like ripped the Band-Aid off. Mm-hmm. And I just forced myself to get into this situation that was really scary and really uncomfortable. And the amazing thing was, when we finally decided it was time to have sex, he was so into me and so excited about getting to touch me that he just like ripped all my clothes off and went to town. And I just had this moment of like, holy crap, how'd I get naked so fast?
Not in the coffee shop though, right?
No, not in the coffee shop. Not in the coffee shop. In my friend's house. That was around the corner. But, you know, it just kind of was this like, I'm just going to leap in with both feet and see what happens. And since then, I have found other instances where I've been really scared to get naked. Like last summer, I was at an event where clothing was optional at certain parts of this camp that I was at. And so everybody that was swimming naked in this beautiful river. And I felt so like I was the biggest person at the camp. There are a couple of other like plus size folks, but I think I was the biggest person and or close to. And I just had this like, oh God, everybody's naked and everybody looks amazing naked. And I was not in any way looking at everybody else thinking about the imperfections they probably see in themselves. Like I wasn't seeing the stretch marks or the cellulite. I was just seeing bodies that didn't look like mine. And I think that's the trap that we fall into is, you know, we tend to forgive everybody else and be extra hard on ourselves. And we have to remember other people are doing the same lens on us for the most part, is they're looking at us being forgiving and thinking about themselves and all the things that they're struggling with. And so I think one of the things that's been really helpful is one, learning how to be kind to myself with my thoughts has helped me around being naked. The other thing that totally revolutionized my world was the militant baker. Her name is Jess Baker, who's written all about like being fat and loving yourself. And she has this piece that's like 15 things nobody will tell fat women about sex. And one of the things that she said simultaneously horrified me and set me free. And that was, people know what you look like even when you're wearing clothes. So it's not a surprise when they come off. And I just had this moment of like, you mean I haven't been tricking and hiding this whole time? You know, of like, I've been wearing these long shirts that hide my tummy and my butt or covering my arms because my mom always told me they were fat. And somehow I had tricked myself into believing that someone would be really surprised when my clothes came off. And to hear that's actually not the case. Like when someone sees you with your clothes on, they already know what you're going to look like naked for the most part. And so if they're choosing to get naked with you, it's because they're already bought into what you look like. And so having permission around that. So the two specifics that I'll offer if someone is really struggling with getting naked is the first is surround yourself with people who are in the body positivity movement, the fat acceptance movement. Find role models that have bodies like yours and are really unapologetic about it. There have been some fascinating studies done on how quickly our brains start changing the stories we hear about the bodies we see when we're exposed to different body types and images. And so by seeing other bodies like yours in bikinis or in short dresses, it actually starts to rewire your brain and the stories you tell yourself about how you're supposed to look. For me, that was a huge transformation. I went on a media diet. I completely eliminated all fashion magazines from my world. And I started following people like Jess Baker and Virgie Tovar. And the more I saw them being really okay being seen, the more it made me feel like, well, maybe it won't be the end of the world if I let myself be seen too, because they're doing it and they're surviving. And then the other thing I'll offer is Emily Nagoski, who wrote Come As You Are, I'm sure you're familiar with. She has this wonderful exercise that's actually based in science, and because everything she does is based in science and that's awesome. But they have done all these studies around being insecure about your body. And one of the techniques that they've found really works, and she talks about this in her book, is every single day you need to spend a couple of minutes looking at yourself completely naked. And every single day you have to notice the things that you like about yourself. And on the first day, the things that you find to like about yourself might be that you like the shape of your nails and you don't have split ends and, you know, like your earlobes are nice. You know, it might be just these really tiny little things. And then the next day you do the exact same exercise and it might be those same three things. and then you do it again and again. And what they found was, as you do that every single day, over the course of a couple of weeks, you start seeing yourself very differently. And you start actually zeroing in on all the ways that your body is beautiful. And the results of this practice, which I've done, are amazing. And you actually start to see beauty in some of the things that you thought you could never, ever find beautiful. And to give yourself that gift is absolutely transformative. And it creates so much more permission around then letting other people see you, because you know there's like 70 things that you now find beautiful about yourself. But it takes time to start, you know, it takes time to start really undoing some of those messages and some of the stories that you may have been telling yourself for 30, 40 years.
Wow. And as you've gone on this journey, what connection have you found between your ability to love and celebrate and be with your body and your ability to experience sexual pleasure? What correlation have you found?
Oh my God, it's been amazing. I used to spend so much time when I was having sex trying not to let certain parts of myself be seen. I would wear negligees that were a certain length and then maybe let the shoulders fall off so my breasts would be seen, but never let my tummy be seen. Or I'd make sure the lights were really low and there was candles on. And I would go to all of these really great lengths to hide the parts of myself that I felt like were completely unacceptable for human consumption. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it's not that I wasn't having orgasms or having fun, but I was really only scratching the surface. And I didn't know that I was only scratching the surface until I started doing this work. And I took a lover a couple of years ago when I was trying all kinds of things. And he was this older gentleman who wanted to savor me. And he would spend hours, literally hours, just kissing me and using his fingers on me. And he would give me pleasure that I didn't even know the human body could be capable of. And the only reason that that was able to really unfold for me was because I allowed him to see me. And I allowed him to touch me everywhere. And something about that relationship that we had felt like I was allowed to go to the places that I was capable of going. And that was the first time I really got a little glimpse into, whoa, there might be so much more pleasure out there than I ever knew was possible if I'm going there with this person. And we just had this like little 3-month relationship that went really deep, really fast. And I discovered all these amazing things about myself. And now I feel like I'm so in the moment when I have sex, and I'm so connected to the person that I'm with, and I'm so interested in hearing their gasps and their moans and their groans, and I'm so ready to surrender when they want to give me something, and I just receive so fully. And it's like, you know, it's not that I don't occasionally look down and notice like, whoa, my boobs look really uneven right now, but the thought hits and I kind of am like, yeah, they do. One's touching the bed and one's not. And then I go back to, yeah, but this thing that's happening to me right now feels so good. Who cares?
So when this gentleman was ready to savor you, was that hard to receive at first? Did you hit pleasure resistance?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, at first I kept trying to deflect back to him. And what was kind of amazing was he would spend an hour just kissing me with all of our clothes on against the wall, just inside the door of the hotel room. And I had never had something like that before, where he was getting lost in just my mouth. And that would just get me so freaking aroused and so filled with need that it was only maybe the first time or two that we were together that I really kind of tried to, like, no, let me make this about you. Or, oh, I'll just leave my dress on because that's sexy. And I got over that really quickly because being kissed that way for so long, to the point where if you don't get to be touched, you feel like you're going to die. So that by the time the clothes came off, it was like, I don't care. I just have to go there. And it was just extraordinary. And I feel really, really lucky that I had that opportunity. And it, you know, gave me an excuse to explore that in other ways with other partners. And I love kink and BDSM. And that's been another path for me to my pleasure is, you know, it's hard for me to be in my body sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I still feel really uncomfortable with the way that it looks or the way that it feels. And kink has helped me find a way to stay really present and be really in the moment and to, like, be with myself and with someone else at the same time. And so that's really been a gift in my journey to pleasure as well.
Okay, we're going to do another episode on that because there's so much to say.
Yes.
We have so much in common, Dawn.
Oh, yay. I love it.
So how do we operationalize this for partners? Like, one of the things I just heard was slowing way down and savoring the kiss and getting lost in that moment. What are some other strategies for partners of people who are not fully comfortable in their body?
So one of the things that I do now that I adore is it's really strange to say husband because that's so new.
Yeah. Just got married. Yay.
So my husband and I will either text or email ladycheeky.com links back and forth. And that's a really erotic, beautiful sex site that's on Tumblr run by the Lady Cheeky. And, what we do is we build anticipation all throughout the day leading up to a date, or as a way to kind of carry the high from a previous night into the next day. And that's been a really wonderful way for me to feel really excited about the potential and what we might do together, because we will find these images of people doing really sexy things and then tell each other little stories about why we want to do it to each other or with each other, or what it'll feel like when we do. And seeing all the ways that he gets really creative and seeing the ways that he thinks about touching me and the ways that he thinks about enjoying me and all the different ways that he wants to fuck me. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. All the different ways that he wants to fuck me, it gets me excited, and it helps in that way of I believe him, because it's constantly being reinforced by these stories and these things that we share with each other. And I think that's a really easy way for all of us to just build in a little bit of anticipation. That's been a really powerful practice for me. And us just keeping the desire alive and me feeling appreciated is by the two of us getting creative and him constantly, like, showing up. And of course, you know, it's reciprocal because we're both having fun. But that could be a really fun game to start, of finding sexy pictures or sexy little clips on Tumblr sites or on erotica sites and sharing those.
Which I love, because El Chase started that site as a way of doing just that, of getting her and her lover turned on.
So, yes.
Paying the gift forward. I love it.
That's right. I know, for all of us to get off. I think that's been really wonderful. And I think the other thing that's really important is sometimes we try to make our loved ones or our partners feel better by telling them what we'd like to hear. Instead of what they need to hear. And I think if you've got someone in your life that's really either struggling with body image or struggling with depression or anxiety or insecurity or jealousy, really sitting down and asking them, like, what kinds of compliments feel really good? And what parts of you would you really like me to appreciate? And what are some things that I might do that make you really believe how much I enjoy you? And receive their answers, and then make a point to use those things to offer back to them the things that they really want to receive. And I think that's a really powerful practice of just really demonstrating to somebody, like, your experience matters to me, and I want to hear about it, and I want to ask about it, and I want to offer that back to you. And that's true of any relationship. But I think especially when you're with someone who's feeling like they don't deserve to be seen, to specifically say, how can I see you in a way that feels good? Because I think I've had clients who've said, my husband's constantly telling me he feels sexy, but I just feel so gross in this body after I've had a baby or whatever it is. And they've felt almost like pressured or kind of like beat down with these compliments that were constantly being put on them in this like desperation to make their wife feel better. And what it really came down to was she didn't want to hear that. She wanted something else. Yeah. And so I think just asking the question and asking it more than once, you know, what I want to hear today and what's going to feel really good to me today is probably going to be different in a couple of weeks or a couple of days. And so constantly checking in, like, what would you really love to hear today? Because I want to make you feel really good. And then give that to them. Mm.
Yeah, we definitely learned that when my wife was pregnant and bodies were changing so rapidly. And sometimes she didn't want to hear, like, oh, you look so sexy with your curves. But she wanted to hear, you look really powerful and strong. And those things changed over time. And yeah.
Yeah.
So you have your own podcast, Sex Gets Real, and yes, you've had all these conversations. You recently hosted an amazing summit. What is the most significant thing you have learned by hosting your own podcast?
Oh, that's such a great question. I think one of the things that I've learned from all the questions that I get from listeners is one of the threads that I notice in the hundreds of questions that I've gotten is everybody wants to be a good sexual partner. It's just sometimes they don't know how, or sometimes there's a lot of pain or insecurity or fear. And so many of us carry so much shame. And so it's always been really inspiring to me that, you know, for all of the things that are wrong with this world and all of the issues we have with patriarchy and issues of consent and, you know, the list goes on with trauma, what just really rings true to me is, you know, whether they're failing at it or succeeding, there's this real interest underneath so many of the questions that I get that come back to, I really want to be a good sexual partner. And I really want to find a way to give this person that I'm having sex with, whether it's someone you've been dating a couple of weeks or been married to for 40 years, pleasure. And I just don't know how, or I don't know how to say it, or I feel like I'm doing something wrong, or my husband's trying to give me lots of pleasure and he's just failing miserably. But it's just this like beautiful thread that's given me so much hope that, you know, for, I think, all of the really, I don't know, surface level things we see about sex in the media, there's actually a lot of depth going on, and it's just going unspoken because it's buried in shame. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that's just really rung true for me is I've talked to a couple of folks who specialize around jealousy, and I've loved their messages in that, like, it's okay to feel jealous, and jealousy is natural. And there are ways to use jealousy to actually bring you closer to someone you love instead of letting it be a destructive force. And jealousy is something that I've really struggled with because of my insecurities and my trauma and just feeling like, you know, issues around attachment. Jealousy comes up for me. And I think that we really have this bizarre kind of like virgin horror relationship with jealousy, where we vilify it and people who are jealous are like bad and controlling. And at the same time, we want people to be jealous of us because it's a way to like demonstrate just how much you're infatuated with someone. And there's endless songs, you know, Jonas Brothers about jealousy. But there's this like middle road that we can take where jealousy can be a really powerful teacher and a really powerful way to connect with someone and to let yourself be seen in vulnerability and to then create something really beautiful together around the jealousy. And, you know, those lessons from other people who have inspired me have really informed a lot of my own experiences and the work that I do, which I love.
Wow, a powerful note to end on. We could go on for days, I'm sure. And we will definitely have you back to talk more about kink and maybe about trauma. There's so much we can share, but thank you so much for sharing your wisdom on this subject.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And where can people find you to learn more?
Well, I'm going to do three websites. The first is, if people want to check out the podcast, it's sexgetsreal.com. I do sex coaching and relationship coaching. I've gotten certified through the Gottman Method Couples Therapy, and I help people with issues around desire, and that's donsarah.com, nice and simple. And then if anyone wants to check out that summit that I hosted, all 30 of the talks are still available for purchase at a really low price, and that's at exploremoresummit.com.
Beautiful. And we will link that all up on the show notes page over at pleasuremechanics.com. Dawn, thank you so much for joining us, and let's do this again.
I would love that. And thank you to everybody who listened.
Cheers.